The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Come now, Holy Spirit, illumine our minds, strengthen our hearts. Speak to us and guide us in the way that leads to the heart of God through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our friend. Amen. Please be seated. Once again, it is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day that we celebrate the birthday of the church. So it's a significant feast day in the life of the church. The church, it's the day that really we came into being. The typical or classic text that is read on Pentecost Sunday is Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon those gathered in the upper room. And everyone spoke tongues. They spoke in their own tongues. The Spirit rested on every single individual. And it begins with the mighty rushing wind. Powerful display of God's power, constituting, bringing together from all over the world, because they were all gathered from all over the world in Jerusalem for the feast days. From all over the world, there was this unity and diversity, and God's Spirit was given to everyone. Without regard to background and status, place in society, the Spirit was poured out upon the church, just as Jesus promised. And it created this community. Community that really did pose a big question mark before the authority and power of the Roman Empire to orchestrate the life of their subjects. Here they were in the upper room receiving from God a gift that was not filtered through, approved by, or even censored by the Roman Empire. It was the gift of God for everyone. Day of Pentecost, birthday of the church, a people empowered by the Holy Spirit to live the way of Jesus. And the history of the church shows us that it was an amazing event, but persecution followed, right? Hard times suddenly showed up. And it was that very Spirit that gave some of the earliest martyrs the strength to stand before the Colosseum and proclaim Jesus as Lord. So the birth of the church is a story about who we are, about our ancestors, about the people of God, that God chose to continue his work in the world. And here we are on this day, people of the Spirit, people called by God to live in this way that leads to life. I mean, our gospel lesson lets us know, Jesus, I will send the advocate, the one who will argue your case before the world. You're not alone, basically. It's heaven's way, God's way of saying, you may not see Jesus, but his invisibility never means his absence. Jesus continues with you. The birth of the church. And so let me ask a question. And I want you to sit just for a second and think about it. But what is your earliest memory of church? What is your earliest memory of church? I know for some, it may be VBS like it was for me. But what is your earliest memory of church? I remember church being filled with all kinds of characters as a kid. People who showed up here and there. There was the man who would always ask for, before putting his money in the plate, does anyone have change for a quarter? I remember that as a kid. I remember that. And no one judged him. No one judged him. There were all kinds of interesting characters that would walk in and say, well, you know what? I think I want to preach today. You can tell I didn't grow up in the Episcopal Church because that would not go down, right? Everything's rightly ordered. We do things decently and in order. And on occasion, the pastor would say, oh, you got a word from the Lord? Okay, come on up. And midway, you realize this is not a word from the Lord, but a word from a sponsor, someone there to collect money. I also remember a lot of people who showed up with deep pain and deep questions. I remember a family that would bring their son in a wheelchair, hoping that that was the Sunday that Jesus would heal him. I knew of families that came to church hoping that this Sunday, somehow, God would fix their marriage, or God would fix their son or daughter struggling with addiction, living on the streets, that they could find their loved one. I remember all of these people. Hearts broken, dreams unfulfilled, struggles, power struggles. It all shows up. Eugene Peterson writes about how church is one of the most disappointing places, because sometimes we show up struggling with our disappointments, and sometimes we walk away with that same disappointment out the door with major questions about why did this happen, and how did this happen, and why am I going through this? And that's what St. Paul is writing about when he writes about the creation groaning. That the church is a place where we show up as we are. And really, the question is, why do you keep showing up? St. Paul says, we groan together in labor pains, and the Spirit is at work in our lives. And sometimes it is the deepest disappointments that we do bring, searching for answers, looking for healing, looking for comfort, looking for a way out. And it is this community. Yes, there was that community where the fire came down from heaven. But as the church continued to walk this earthly pilgrimage, it is a community of people with questions and pain, situations that are out of control. And it is to this community that the Spirit of God has been given, Paul reminds us. Because we live in a world groaning really for purpose. Groaning for answers. Children across the world, and you've heard me say, groaning for the next meal. People lost, groaning for to be found. People in loveless situations, groaning to be accepted and welcome. Individuals who are just completely rejected by society, groaning for home. And so I wonder, what have you been groaning with within your own heart? Paul reminds us that we go through these situations in life, and that in those times, Paul says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And thanks be to God. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray what we ought. Have you ever been there? Where you just have no idea how to even address the situation that you're in, or even understand how to take the next step, or how to comfort someone, or how to give a word of encouragement. You're there and you run out. There is no way to tether together or string together words that will help, that will comfort, that will guide. And thank God for St. Paul, for we do not know how to pray, but the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. What does it mean to be the church and to celebrate the birth of the church? It's also to celebrate the presence of the Spirit in our lives that really, I think, is what keeps us coming back. Because when we run out of words to express and understand what is happening around us, to us, in and through us, the Spirit, in its own way, begins to speak into our hearts. The Spirit knows. And the word that Paul uses here is intercedes. It's the same idea of the advocate. It's the Spirit who goes before any accusation, any sense of unworthiness. It's the Spirit that goes before all of the ideas that we've accumulated from childhood to adulthood that disempower us, that keep us afraid, that make us question our own value in society. The Spirit intercedes for us, Paul reminds us, with sighs too deep for word, and God who searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. So on this birthday of the church, maybe your memory of the church has been of a place where you keep coming back because you believe this God knows you better than everyone else. And you know that this God is not going to reject, this God is not going to close the door, this God is not going to refuse you the order of worship, that this God is going to say, welcome, beloved child, welcome home. I've heard your prayers, even though you did not have the words to speak the deep questions and pain in your heart. Welcome home. Or perhaps the doubts you may have about, what am I doing here? I mean, this is an invisible being. Like, people must think we're nuts, we're crazy showing up to worship an invisible being. This world is in chaos, it seems unhinged. Where is this God? The life of faith is one in which we bring that struggle to those spaces in our lives, and we show up with our questions. We realize that that is the quest of our soul, but that questing is not done alone, but we do it in the company of God's Spirit, but also in the company of God's people, where we are learners. We're not jockeying for power, but we're looking for ways to serve. Where we're a community where folks can come in lost and be found because there is a community of welcome that says, wow, we're so glad you're here. Not, can you give us your Episcopal club card? Do you belong or do you don't belong? The Spirit created a community where we could come and sit and seethe and praise and be joyful and bring our concerns, to laugh and to weep, to linger with our losses for as long as it takes, and to wrap our arms around those who are just needing that encouragement. So when we talk about the birth of the church, it's explosive, yes, but it's also this community that St. Paul reminds us is longing and groaning inwardly for adoption, being incorporated into the life of God. And so wherever you are today in your journey of faith, whatever the big questions are in your heart, Jesus made it possible for us to say we have been adopted and we are part of this family. You see, this is, love is powerful, but this is about the kind of love that goes that extra mile, right? That extra mile to those spaces where we might be afraid to go, but by the power of the Spirit that gives us the words and the courage to step into not only the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, but the lives of our world, the situations in our world. That's how the Spirit continues to flow out of us into the world to remind everyone, as Jesus reminded the disciples, that the Spirit bears witness to what God is doing and what God longs for each and every one of us. And what is that? To be a people so aware of being loved that you could be afraid, angry, you could seethe, you can question, and it doesn't mean you're out of God's community. It means you have found God safe enough to be able to show up that way. Like a child who feels safe enough to rant and rave in front of family because they know that love is stronger than this instance in life. That love does not exclude or throw someone out because of an instance of difference. A moment of disagreement does not disqualify us as the people of God. The life of the church and the birth of the church is the birth of everyone around you. All of us sealed and marked by the Holy Spirit, adopted into the life of God. Called to be people of hope and people of grace. So I hope that as you go forward in the life of the church, that you bring all of those memories, all of it, and feel like All Saints of the Desert is a place where you can bring it and lay it before God, be nourished at the table of our Lord, and go out once again, empowered by the Holy Spirit, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, and comforted by the Holy Spirit. Amen.